पुरपितानो भगवान्
दक्षोदुहित्रिवत्सलः
अनुगृणीतवरन्वत्सलः नित्यपृच्छतनः
प्रीता
पुरपितानो
भगवान्
In days long ago, our father, the most opulent Daksha, who was affectionate to his daughters, asked each of us separately whom we would prefer to select as our husband. Perfect. It appears from this verse that free selection of a husband was allowed by the father, but not by free association. The daughters were asked separately to submit the selection to a husband, of a husband, who was famous for his acts and personality. The ultimate selection depended on the choice of the father. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nikti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunjavari Paskatyare Satanarine. So, this text of the Bhagavatam brings forth a point of cultural interest and also of sociological interest. I do not intend to discuss this matter because we are here this morning comfortably situated in the Brahmachari ashram, I feel that it is important for all to know the culture, the spiritual culture and sociology. Here we find out that daughter in marriageable age is allowed in Vedic society to present her selection of a qualified husband to the consideration of her loving father, who will consider if this selection is good for the benefit of his daughter. However, the ultimate selection in this spiritual culture depended on the choice of the father. This is the point from this verse. Let us just go on, because these verses are in the same way, to listen to this, so that the next lecture giver comes to another subject, the old subject being sufficiently presented. Our well-wishing father Daksha, these are the daughters of Daksha who speak, after knowing our intentions, handed over 13 of his daughters unto you, and since then we have all been faithful. This is Kasyapa, who has married 13 daughters of Daksha. Perfect. Generally, the daughters were too shy to express their opinions before their father. But the father would accept the daughter's intention through someone else, such as a grandmother to whom the grandchildren had free access. The daughters would come to the grandmother and say, "Grandma, I would really prefer to marry this person. Please tell my father." King Daksha collected the opinions of his daughters, and thus handed over 13 of them to Kashyapa. Every one of Didi's sisters was a mother of children. Therefore, since she was equally faithful to the same husband, why should she remain without children? So Didi says to the husband, Kashyapa Muni, O lotus-eyed one, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. She wants to have a child. When someone in distress approaches a great person, his pleas should never go in vain. Perfect. Diti knew well that her request might be rejected because of the untimely situation. But she pleaded that when there was an emergency or a distressful condition, there is no consideration of time or situation. This is an interesting point. When there is a great distress, it should be taken care of immediately. Who has great distress of you at the moment? No one? This is good, because then we can continue the lecture. But if there wouldn't have been great distress, something would have to be arranged immediately, according to Vedic. It's a very human civilization. I think we can appreciate this. So now comes a very interesting verse, and I will conclude and then present other thoughts on this. Ititang vira maricha kripanam bahubasinam pradyaha nunayanvacha pravrittan nanga kashmalam. O hero Vidura, Diti, being thus afflicted by the contamination of lust, and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marichi in suitable words. Perfect. When a man or woman is afflicted by the lust of sex desire, it is to be understood as sinful contamination. Kashyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he did not have sufficient strength to refuse his wife, who was thus afflicted. He could have refused her with strong words expressing impossibility, but he was not as spiritually strong as Vidura. Vidura is addressed here as a hero because no one is stronger in self-control than a devotee of the Lord. It appears that Kashyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment with his wife. And because he was not a strong man, he tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. Yes. Hare Krishna. For all of you who have joined this section of the Bhagavatam, at this moment I will now give you a little introduction to the subject matter, and from there go into a subject which is related to these verses and very much related with our own spiritual lives. The subject is that Diti, the wife of Kashyapa Muni, felt extremely desirous to have a child and approached her husband for procreation. Now, there is nothing wrong in this. In fact, it is one of the functions in Grihastha Ashram. What was wrong was the time. She came at a time which was very inauspicious, because at that time it was not day and not night, but something in between. Very bad influences and demoniac personalities were roaming the sky. And it is known that if at such a time union between man and husband take place, one of these disembodied in demons very often takes birth. There is a time when to have good children, and there is a time when actually it's very inauspicious to have this project of procreation. Studies in the West have, there are some studies which have confirmed these Vedic understandings, and it is a fact that sometimes when husband and wife or any couple seeks union, there is bound to be a monster taking birth. Not always in physical countenance, but in mentality at least. Hare Krishna. For Kashyapa Muni, this was a test. His beloved wife had a very, very strong desire for union and approached him. And for Kashyapa, this was really a test, what to do with this situation. And as we hear later, he failed the test, and against his better knowledge, that at the time where Diti approached him was very inauspicious, he finally laid down with her in a lonely place. This is the verse of the Bhagavatam, and conceded to her very strong desires in this regard. It is described that every devotee of the Lord will be tested sooner or later as far as his or her determination in Krishna consciousness is concerned. We have just completed a study of the Uddhava Gita. This one, there are two chapters on Varnashram. It's interesting for you maybe to note, in one of them sannyas life is described, and it is said that that the sannyasi who has left his family will be surely tested by the powerful demigods who will appear before him. Listen to this, Radha Krishna, it's very mystical. The demigods will appear before him as his former wife. They will take this form, and then this form, which is not really the former wife, but it looks, will make all kinds of arrangements to ruin the vrata of the sannyas. Or if the demigods do not take the form of the previous wife of a sannyas, they take the form of another wife, a woman, who is perfectly suited to severely test the determination of that sannyasi. My point here is not to get into the different ashramas. My point is to give you all an illustration of tests which come in spiritual life. This was a test for a sannyasi. There is a test for a grihastha, there is a test for a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, and an undecided person in what ashram he will be. And the test will come in spiritual life, and it is personally arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At this stage of the history in our ISKCON society, there is already a time where faith is tested of many of its members who may not feel totally rooted in deep spiritual realization, but also other members will be tested. This is natural. It is to be expected on the spiritual path. And in today's presentation, I would like to talk a little bit about the subject matter of tests in spiritual life, and how to deal with them when they appear in the life of a devotee. I'm feeling now a little nervous because my older brother has appeared in the lecture and I seek his permission and inspiration so that I may say the right things in this August assembly. Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm always feeling a little nervous before my more qualified Vaishnava asked to speak. In the Bhagavatam, we hear of a devotee who was severely tested in spiritual life and who successfully overcame this test. Srila Prabhupada said in a morning walk which he conducted in Tehran, if you want to remain a vagabond, it's like a homeless beggar who lives by hassling others to get his maintenance clarified. If you want to remain a vagabond, there will be no test for you. But if you want to go back to Krishna, there will be severe test. He said, there will be an acid test. Now for those of you who are not familiar with chemistry, you can test gold by applying a liquid called acid, and the way the acid reacts with the metal gold will tell you how valuable this gold is. The acid will react with the gold and something will happen. If it's not gold, bubbles will come, or it will just eat. The acid will eat away through whatever imitation it is and react in other ways. I do not know the possibilities, but there are many. However, gold will only react in a very specific way. In the same way, a devotee will be tested by very intense tests. For instance, the time of death is such a test, and a real devotee will only react in a certain way. That is, at that moment he will take exclusive shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet and give all other so-called shelters. At that particular moment, the force of the acid, that is the force of the particular situation which appears as the test for his determination, will be defeated by the mercy of the Lord. This is a reaction of a devotee. Now, let us hear an example of this and meditate a little about it. Now, when I will already request you, you will be entirely shocked as you hear this example and the purport. It will maybe change your whole attitude to life and the difficult situations in life. So please listen very carefully. There are great treasures in this particular verse and purport which we will hear now. It is describing Bali Maharaj, who once was the king of the universe and then was bereft of all his riches by Vaman Dev, an incarnation of the Lord, who took everything away from him. In this episode of Bali Maharaj's lives, even his spiritual master, Shukracharya, was leaving him. Let us hear and appreciate this verse. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends. These are all examples of what happened to Bali Maharaj. Although suffering the pain of being bound, he was bound, he couldn't move any longer, and although rebuked and cursed by his own spiritual master, heavy Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles. Now the Lord speaks. But he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Now let us hear the purport. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy towards his devotee. The test which was placed before Bali Maharaj was the mercy of Krishna towards his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. Almost. One could hardly even live under the condition forced upon Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates. Now it comes to the reaction of the Lord. That the Lord sees that the devotee who is placed under a test keeps up his determination and his adherence to spiritual life. He becomes very appreciative. Because with the test, this is just a comment outside of the purport, the Lord really wants to see this soul determined. Does he really want me, or does he want so many other things? So when the Lord sees that at this moment, when the devotee is out of his comfort zone, when he's shaken out of his nice prasadam arrangements and appreciation and honor of others, when he holds tight to his lotus feet, the Lord becomes, his heart melts. The Lord certainly appreciates, this is, I'm continuing the purport, the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. And now Srila Prabhupada tells the wonderful psychology of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. This is the mercy of the Lord. When you see the tests coming into your life, which either have come already or will come, if you want the highest in Krishna consciousness, be happy. Take full shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord and know he will give you the required amount of strength which will be necessary to pass through this difficult situation. For those of you who are a little bit interested in studying deeply spiritual philosophy on their own, we have just read from the 8th canto, chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this test in his own life. After he had taken sannyas, he was one day distributing his magazines and attacked by a loitering bull on the street. And the bull severely wounded him, and he had to go back to his accommodation, and he was lying there practically uncared. There was no one. It happened in Vrindavan. It happened in Delhi. I'm sorry. There was no one. He just carried himself back and he lied in great pain there. There was no Adi Keshava Prabhu who could administer the right balm or the right whatever was wrong. He was practically alone, wounded in a city. And listen to his very, very endearing verse, how he described this. When I took sannyas, when I was living alone, I was feeling very bitter. Sometimes I was thinking whether I have done wrong by accepting. So when I was publishing this Back to Godhead from Delhi, one day one bull thrashed me and I fell down on the footpath and I got severe injury. I was alone. So I was thinking, what is this? So I had very days of very tribulations, but it was all meant for good. So don't be afraid of tribulations. You see, go forward. Krishna will give you protection. That is Krishna's promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. When you take to the path of Krishna consciousness, you declare war against the powerful material energy. And here I will quote my illustrious older brother. What do you think when you declare war on Maya, what Maya will do? When a small country like Switzerland, Krishnikata has come from the country, mountainous country of Switzerland, declares war on America. And America will immediately point all its nuclear weapons to nuke out the arrogant Swiss population and raise them off of the surface of the planet Earth. So, because America is powerful, what will Maya do when you declare war against her? She will not even take it very seriously. Lord Kapila Dev explains one of Maya's very, very powerful weapons, which are just accumulated on the top of an islet. He says, just see the power of my mighty illusory energy. With one movement of the eye of a woman, even the most mightiest conqueror of the world can fall under control. Just see. He says it so personal. Just see. Just contemplate this. Now for those who have landed in the woman's body, we can interpret this verse to also with a lusty glance of a uncontrolled man, you can be totally victimized by Maya. The vice of Ravana knew this art, the Shakti which Maya has just put into the eyelid of the opposite sex, and therefore they applied from this hair to this border 13 different colors. 13. The modern cosmetic industry is still behind. There's so much power there. We hear from Shastra that Cupid works through the eyes of the opposite sex and throws his powerful five weapons. One weapon is called absolute fascination, and the other is to put someone totally in illusion, moha. What?
Harshanam.
Something strong, more strong than the atomic bomb. Just by the eye. Even the most powerful Hussein, what is he called? Nawab Hussein from Iraq. Saddam. Or Bill Clinton is easily victimized. So don't underestimate what the material energy can place as tests before you, and she will do. This particular test was even brought before Haridas Thakur. Maya Devi personally came to tempt him, but he was remaining fixed in the chanting of the holy name. And in that purport, Prabhupada says that lusty women attract men is not unusual, but those who remain fixed in the chanting of the holy name will be able to ward off the effects of Maya. So what to do when Maya attacks like this? It is already said, but I want to say it for the conclusion. You must know to take shelter at Krishna, and the shelter, exclusive shelter, is meant. Even the most powerful person will be washed away by Maya. Very simple. I've just given you an idea of one way Maya can work. There are innumerable ways. She doesn't only have to come through this alley. And even the most powerful person can be washed away, but he or she who has taken shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna will be victorious. Why? Because bhakti there is a secret which you must know when you practice bhakti yoga. As soon as you practice sincerely bhakti yoga, you come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all energies. Being the originator of the material energy, Maya, and being the originator or original cause of the spiritual energy, if you come in contact with Krishna, by his potencies, Maya can be easily stopped. Only Krishna, the origin of Maya, can effectively stop Maya. Maya will not listen to anyone else than the origin of her energy. She will not listen to the yogic practices of the yoga, the yogis who can control the material energy in a limited way. For us it is amazing what they can do. Maya will not listen to those who have performed pious activities or who are great jnanis, because Maya will only listen to her own master, that is Krishna. Only Krishna can order Maya to go back. This you must know about bhakti. Therefore, it is said in the Bhagavata that other processes like sense control and mind control do not work as effectively as taking shelter under the lotus feet of Mukunda, that's the name of Krishna, who can give liberation from material existence. Maya only works when stops when you go away from Krishna, if Krishna says stop. I want to end with an illustration which will make it very clear, an illustration from my own life. before joining Krishna consciousness, I had to work. Well, my very rich family would never give us children money. This was a principle, because they didn't want to spoil us with wealth. They knew this. You know, old families in the West do know such things. So I had to work to get to fulfill my material desires and plans, and I did this every Sunday morning by carrying newspapers to the houses of those who had standing order on the newspapers. And I remember there was this one house, it was a rich man's house, it was surrounded by a beautiful garden. Whenever you came to this door, there was a powerful dog. You have not seen these dogs in India. They almost look like baby elephants. They're very big and very ferocious. They are trained to kill. They're guard dogs. Bernhardina is the German word. If you are an expert in dogs, it will tell you something. So this one dog, I would come and I would have to place the newspaper in some designated area, would come, and he would make such a noise. He would jump up and down, he would bark in such a way that the whole nervous system got blockaded. It was so violent. His saliva would come, and he would show his teeth, and I would just close my eyes and just place the newspaper into this place which was out of reach. He couldn't reach my hand, but I mean, I had to close the eyes, because he looked so terrifying. He looked like the ten Yamadutas in one. I remember every Sunday morning when I started the tour to give the newspaper, I was thinking, oh no, this dog. And I would have nightmares the night before about this dog breaking through the fence and approaching me at breakfast time. It was terrifying. Please look, please think of the example. The test was very much. So one morning, the rich man came. He was pleased because I had always brought the newspaper on time. And he came to me, he approached me, and with him came this dog. You know, and so on. And he opened the gate. And he said, "Welcome, you are a very reliable person, full of good qualities. Come into my house, I want to reward you." I froze. And then the dog started his scene. And the man just said, "Stop it, Baldi." And the Baldi froze. He approached me, he licked my hand with deep affection, I followed the rich man, and the Baldi was there, happy and very satisfied with me. It took only one word of the master of this terrible monster to stop him. In the same way, the material energy, which can finish everyone, is listening to only one word or one blink of the eye of the Supreme Personality of God. So, my dear devotees, you will be tested. You must be tested. One test of our bhajan, I said already, is the time of death. It is not easy. The pain can be, according to one of the Puranas, as if 10,000 scorpions bite you at once. It can be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. And so on. You will be tested before. Small, big, can happen on Sankirtan, it can happen with diseases which you get, and so on. But don't be afraid. If you know to take shelter at that moment exclusively in Krishna, at Krishna's lotus feet, he will be able to just say to the material energy who will administer the test, leave him, he's my devotee. With this, we want to end our little presentation on tests in Krishna consciousness. More can be said, and I hope there will be some question, because then I can give you one more advice what to do from scripture. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, so do you have any questions on this particular subject matter? Tests in Krishna consciousness. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you are speaking about the test.
Yes.
As you said, that the only hope is to get complete shelter of Krishna.
Exclusively, yes.
Now, seeing the experience of yours in sannyas, at the same time so many years in Krishna consciousness, what is your experience? Which is the biggest test that devotee will be facing in his life? To maintain his Krishna consciousness for the whole lifetime. Which is the test? Because test is going to come on each and every devotee.
Yes.
So which is the test you feel is that which is the biggest test for the devotee? And how to face this test when the test will come in?
When the test will come, yes. It is a very good question. You have asked me from my own experience. So you want an answer which has the substance of experience. Have you all understood the question of our devotee? Which will come in our Krishna conscious life are individual. Each one of us has certain lessons still to learn in his or her life. One very often a pattern which always comes is pride. We are all in smaller or larger degrees proud. This comes due to our identification with the body and the mind, our own ideas and perspectives and so on. So there is a shloka in Shastra which says that Krishna absolutely does not like to see the pride in his devotees, and he is very expert to smash the pride of his own men. This is how it is translated. Krishna is known as smashing the pride of his own men, because only when one is free from this very common but very powerful anatta can one at all approach the Lord with love. So every one of us will be tested on this one, because it's Krishna's speciality. At another time, because I see you're taking this subject and thinking, I can talk more about this subject. I personally also have experienced this, that this is Krishna's very, very, it will come to everyone, and it will come in ways which are so subtle that you really have to think twice. Is it now this? But I am right, and the whole universe gives you right. But this is a wrong perspective. The situation is all in my favor. But still, you have to bow down. You may managerially deal with it on one level, but spiritually on another. Arjuna was tested by Krishna in this way. Listen to this. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna and Krishna went as friends to the bank of the Yamuna. It was a beautiful evening, the night blooming jasmine was opening, and they were talking in a very relaxed way. There was no worry, the political situation had become calm. Yudhishthira had finally conceded to take the rule of the world, and Krishna was preparing the test for Arjuna, which Arjuna didn't know. It happened like this. Arjuna had thought, because Krishna had personally taught him the Bhagavad Gita, and he had applied the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, one of which is non-attached action, and the Kurukshetra war was over, he thought, I'm a Vidwan, I know, I have applied the teachings, they worked, it was not just theoretical, it was practical, I'm a great knower of spiritual subjects. Krishna knew that. He wanted now to get rid of this anatta, so to say. So they saw a dead corpse lying there. It was ugly, it didn't fit in the scene. And a jackal who approached the dead corpse. Do you know what jackals do with dead corpses? The jackal didn't do that. He sniffed at the hand. Then he sniffed at the head. Then he sniffed at the eye. But he didn't eat. Then he went to the leg. He didn't eat. He sniffed all over. Krishna said to the jackal, my dear jackal, why is this unusual behavior? Dead bodies are the feast for your species? No, said the jackal. All of a sudden, he began to speak, being empowered by the Lord. You know everything. I do not have to give you the answer, because you are the Supreme Lord. But because you want to teach your devotee in the world, I will give the answer. I am sniffing the legs of this person to find out if ever he went on sacred pilgrimage. I am sniffing the hair of this person to find out if ever this person bowed down to your lotus feet. I am sniffing the eyes to find out if ever he saw the beautiful multiform of you. I'm sniffing his hands to find out if this person who was once in the body of this, but is now the corpse, ever in his life did devotional service. If he has not done, I will not touch him, because also I am your devotee. My food may be unacceptable to your other devotees, but I am your devotee. Hare Krishna. So Arjuna was more subtle than most of us. He understood. He saw the real knowledge. I have no knowledge in comparison to this jackal. I am a fool. And he became very humble. He understood, my dear Lord, I'm a small devotee of yours. This jackal is so great. Haribol. There are other tests which are put to Arjuna in terms of pride, in terms of his bowmanship, in terms of his being a warrior. He was once challenged by a monkey and he couldn't stand up to him. Krishna at that time appeared and said, do you understand, Arjuna? It was before the battle of Kurukshetra. Only if I give you the strength, you can stand up again. He was tested by the, you know, that there were the robbers who came and stole the wife of Krishna, and Krishna, Arjuna couldn't even protect them. Krishna always does this. Pride.
When the pride comes in our heart, what is the thing that should be stopping our consciousness intact? So that when the pride comes, the pattern can counteract.
Trinarabhi sunichena taroiva sahishyuna. You must practice humility, more tolerant, being more tolerant, more humble than the store on the street, and being tolerant of the hardships which come. And this you can only do if you bow down very low. Forget your profession, forget the honor which others are prepared to give you, forget your abilities, and come to your real position of being a tiny, tiny soul, smaller than 10,000 the part of a hair, some very low, smaller than the 10,000th part of the tip of the hair. Come to reality, understand you, where you are fully aware, my dear Lord, I am trying to surrender to you, but it is very difficult. Please, you must protect me, as I am standing in the mouth of death. This is how you pray before the deities. Krishna gives this prayer in the Uddhava Gita. Dear Lord, please protect me. You must come down. To bow down means to come to your position as being the dependent part and particle of Krishna. That is real humility. Humility doesn't mean to meditate about your bad qualities. That is known that you have them. You're a conditioned soul. And if you only think I'm weak-minded, I'm lusty, I'm greedy from morning till evening, you will only meditate about material anatta. It is good to see these, but don't stop there. You must come down and say, I am helpless, I am your part and parcel. You are, without you, what can the part do? I will be a separated finger. Please accept me as your servant. Hare Krishna. If you have more qualifications, you might have to bow more down, because you have to bow down more. Hare Krishna. If I would now preach on humility and so on, I can tell you, I have to say this, I'm coming from a very arrogant background, and so many lessons have to be given, and I foresee many lessons in the future which will come on this area. And it's wonderful that they come, but need the mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I know this very well. You have asked for an answer which has the substance of experience. Here it is. But I will not talk more, because then I would get very private. So it is 9 o'clock now, and this question was very good for many of us. I will conclude this lecture now, because it is a little late, and I don't feel I feel nervous before my older brother. I must admit this, so I can't talk. I do not want to talk more, but you wanted to have a solution, and the best solution really is found in Nectar of Devotion. The Prabhupada says, talks of a statement. He says, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. Now, what is this statement? He is a guide of all devotees. You must admit, this is a very strong statement. This point is now very important. It is the guide for all devotees that come. My dear Lord, the devotee prays, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. In other words, when something bad happens to you, don't point the fingers to others. No, it comes due to your own past misdeeds, and get into the action of continuing to pray, offering your respectful obeisances from the core of your heart. Prabhupada says, when impediments arise, the devotee should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a regular practice of a devotee to go through impediments and difficulties. This you must do. Impediments are not bad. They are gates to the kingdom of God. If you take shelter under the Supreme Personality of God, at that time, it's easy when everything is easy. And don't be afraid. Some of you look, oh, what is going to come in my life? Oh no, and I don't know. No, don't get mental. You want to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet exclusively. This is why you have joined and gone so far. Don't become mental. When you take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, it's blissful. It's wonderful. If you go 100%, sometimes it's very difficult, but when the difficulties come and you want to do, you will be able to do it, and Lord will receive you. He won't turn you down at that moment. But you have to have that intelligence to draw away from the so-called shelters of this world. Justification, arrangements, clarifications, proclamations, and so on. I am not at fault, others are, and so on. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premanandi Agarwal.